In your new piece, you write in part, quote, while Trump's 2016 agenda was frequently stymied by infighting and incompetence, available signs point to a second West Wing staffed by loyalists who would actually carry out his policies. President Trump knows who can deliver and who can't. The backstabbers who weren't around in 2016 won't be in the next White House. Trump's senior campaign advisor, Jason Miller, told me Trump's 2024 campaign has already demonstrated Trump can run an effective operation. This campaign is locked down, a Republican close to Trump said. Most of all, Trump is disciplined because fear is a powerful motivator. His wealth and freedom are at stake. He is terrified of going to jail, a longtime friend from New York told me. The criminal charges helped solve Trump's messaging problem. Prior to the indictments, Trump was a one-line artist singing a tired tune that the 2020 election was stolen. But the dozens of felony counts gave him new material. He cast himself as a political martyr being prosecuted by the Biden White House. He's so distracted with the legal stuff, that's why the campaign is smooth, the Republicans to Trump, close to Trump said. And Gabe, you know, he says out loud that he would be a dictator and that he is your retribution to his voters. He says a lot of the quiet part out loud, even the frightening part out loud. He also has a campaign construct that now has his daughter-in-law built in. There are a lot of different factors to this that didn't exist the first time around.
That's right, Mika. You know, everyone here on the show has been covering Trump for years. And the big story in 2016 and to some extent 2020 was that his campaign was a soap opera. It was clashing personalities. It was nonstop drama. And covering this cycle, the thing that I've been struck by time and time again is that it's really a low drama campaign. These are operatives who are focused, who don't want press, who don't want their egos out there. They are focused on getting Donald Trump into the White House in November 2024, because as I write in the piece, his freedom is at stake. Really, the only thing that is guaranteed to keep Donald Trump out of jail is becoming the next president of the United States and appointing an attorney general who will get these charges thrown out. It's really that simple. And I think that is really why you see Donald Trump so focused. And yes, he says incendiary things on the stump, but when it comes to the mechanics of running the campaign, it is a much different operation.
Highly confident that when you go back and is a senior member of this administration, President Trump's administration, starting in the afternoon of the 20th of January of 2025. Do you feel confident that you will be able to deliver the goods, that we can have serious prosecutions and accountability? And I want the Morning Joe producers that watch us and all the producers that watch us. This is just not rhetoric. We're absolutely dead serious. We're not. You cannot have a constitutional republic and allow what these deep staters have done to the country. The deep state, the administrative state, the fourth branch of government never mentioned in the Constitution is going to be taken apart brick by brick. And the people that did these evil deeds will be held accountable and prosecuted, criminal prosecutions.
Let me ask you finally, how does the campaign interact with people like Steve Bannon and Kash Patel when they go on podcasts and they say that that Trump is going to throw political opponents and reporters in jail? And he looks into the camera and says, "And Morning Joe, we're looking at you. We're coming after you. You're basically going to jail." How does this button down campaign respond to that?
Well, I think they, not only do they respond to it, Joe, I think they're encouraging it. You know, Jason Miller is close to Steve Bannon. There's a whole network of people who have, while they're not officially part of the campaign, they have links to the campaign, and they're using it through the MAGA media to get the ground, you know, to get the troops, the MAGA foot soldiers all riled up. And, you know, I think we've learned all since the last cycle, let's not, you know, pretend, take Trump at his word. I think the media, all of us, Democratic Party, even the few Republicans who are anti-Trump, are sort of not paying attention. Just look at what they're saying. This is a national emergency. And I think Donald Trump is just hoping that throw enough sand in people's eyes, he can get into office. But as Anthony Scaramucci told me, Trump's former communications director, you know, this, they want to be a dictator. He said it out loud, and we should take him at his word.
But I think that what caught my eye, Isaac, about your book, because I think some of us that consider ourselves progressive, me and the civil rights side of that, failed to really build, we're trying to work on this now with Nash Action Network, an infrastructure. Talk more about how they redid themselves and went from the bottom, very local, very grassroots, up, because I think that's underestimated in all of the flash we see of Donald Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very under the radar, and it's just in the past few years, it's really since Trump left office that this has been happening. And Steve Bannon had a huge part in this by popularizing this idea called the precinct strategy, which was exactly that, starting at the bottom, at the precincts, and going up in the party organization itself. This was the innovation over the Tea Party, which was like, you know, everyone go to this Tea Party meeting, you know, this Tea Party, that Tea Party. And the idea here was, no, we have the Republican Party, and we're going to use the Republican Party organization, the Republican Party structure. There's real power in that. There's money, there's volunteers, there's infrastructure. That is the infrastructure that all the candidates use. And they're not the motivation for that, which has a lot of truth in it, actually, is that the reason that Trump failed in 2020 was because of a few uncooperative Republicans. And that by taking over the party apparatus and purifying the party, they would make sure that that wouldn't happen again.
Gabe, you did a great job here of nailing the sophistication of the Trump campaign this go-round, and that it is not just a hack organization the way it was playing by the seat of their pants back in 2016.
That's right.
So if the campaign competency continues over into the policy realm, that's where I think Democrats should really worry, if, you know, not only that the campaign might be successful then, but then in the policy realm. What are you hearing about there? Do you think that it's going to be run with equal sophistication?
Well, I mean, by their own admission, you know, Jason Miller said that if they win the election, that the White House will be staffed only with loyalists. They've weeded out all the backstabbers. You know, a really important figure in this whole drama is Johnny McEntee, who was Donald Trump's former body man in the 2016 cycle. He rose up in Trump world. He became the head of White House personnel in the Trump administration. And his job is really to vet thousands and thousands of potential appointees who will go into the civil service and carry out the MAGA agenda. He's working with the Heritage Foundation, and they're creating, similar to this ground game, basically an army of people that will be ready in January 2025 to get into the government and carry out Trump's agenda.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Monday, 8 April on the Year of Our Lord, 2024. You see this morning complete and total meltdown over at the Information Warfare Center of the Biden regime over there at Morning Joe in MSNBC. They had Gabe Sherman on from Vanity Fair. He's got a huge piece out about how the killing machine of the Trump campaign now is going to lead into policy. And, of course, Isaac Arnsdorf, who's the author of Finish What We Started. That book will be out tomorrow. We hope to get Isaac on the show later in the week. It's really a deep look at Dan Schultz's precinct strategy in the last 2 years, and the school boards, too, to look at the last 2 years, or really almost the last 4 years, from 2021 until today, about how the grassroots really took over the Republican Party. Remember, I want to connect some dots here, and I want to start with the $50 million that was raised at John Paulson's house on Saturday night for President Trump. Remember, a couple weeks ago, you had on Holy Thursday at Radio City Music Hall, you had the Three Kings, you had Obama the traitor, you had Clinton the rapist, and you had Biden the criminal raised $26 million, and they're all sitting there going, this is so amazing, Trump can't raise any money. Well, they raised $50 million on Saturday, but the reason they raised $50 million is tied back to that, also to that Holy Thursday. Remember standing in the rain going to Officer Diller's Christian wake that day, the little guy, the people out in Queens and in Brooklyn and Long Island, the one out there to commemorate and honor the officer, his widow, and his infant son. President Trump also went. It's those little guys. It's the precinct strategy. It's what you've accomplished. Virtually none of the people, I mean, a couple like Scott Bessent and Jason Trenard, a couple, there's a handful that went on Saturday night that have had President Trump's back from the beginning. But the vast majority of those billionaires, 95% of them, did not support President Trump. They don't like Trump. They're there for one reason. They see the ascendancy of MAGA. They see President Trump leading in the polls. They see President Trump coming to a victory. And they all have needs and wants, and they want a piece of the action. We don't say that's a bad thing. You know, modern politics is about money. MAGA is essentially tapped out. The small donors are nowhere have the capacity they had in 16 or in 20. You've got to go to large donors. But they're only there for one reason. They're there because you forced them there. Remember, the MAGA movement, having President Trump's back, has done something historic. You've taken out Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate. He's powerless now. He's retired, done, because he broke his pick on Ukraine, and you're the ones that were the hard granite that he broke his pick on. You were relentless on that ridiculous bill he tried to put up. He broke his pick, and he essentially retired. You took out the leader of the Senate. You took out a Speaker of the House, the first time in the history of this republic, McCarthy, forced him out of office, and you took out the entire senior leadership of the RNC. Now, that purge is not complete. There's still a lot of problems over there, and President Trump's got his team trying to sort things out. La Civita and Lara Trump and that team, they're trying to sort things out. But you did that. That was a grassroots move, and this is, you know, Dan Schultz has had this idea for many, many years he's been working on. I actually got him on a conference call with very sophisticated and wealthy people back in, I think, 15 or 16, and it just didn't resonate. It didn't resonate with them. Because like Ecclesiastes says, there's a season for everything, right? A time and purpose under heaven. This is your moment. You forced those billionaires who, oh, by the way, they were all DeSantis and Youngkin and Nikki Haley. They're all neoliberal neocons. They're not populist nationalists. They're there for one reason. You took their choices away. You honed this down to the MAGA movement, to President Trump, to America First, to the deplorables. You forced their hand. They're not there because they love Trump. They don't love Trump. Heck, a bunch of them were hanging in for Nikki Haley. All the biggest donors for these guys were all there saying, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. How big a check to have for a $50 million? Now, that's all going to come with deal baggage, as we say on Wall Street. But, hey, we'll work through that over time. And right there, you're seeing their panic with also Project 2025. Remember in 16, the come behind victory, we weren't staff. We admit that. We didn't. Who MAGA? We had who these MAGA guys? Let's get them in the White House. Let's get them in the administration. Those 3,000 billets that you can fill immediately, they're going to be filled day one this time. Johnny McEntee, Paul Danz, Project 2025, Russ Vogt, the entire team working. This is where, look at the faces of those people. They're in shock. They're not happy. They're not happy because they understand that President Trump is leading not just a political party and not just a political movement. This is a deep, deep tectonic plate shift in American culture, society, civilization, all of it, as we drive towards this monumental victory. Now, do we have a few speed bumps in front of us? Yeah, a couple of three. We're going to talk about those today. Joel Pollack is going to join me in a minute, talk about Israel. MTG, we've shifted her to 11 o'clock. She's going to be here talking about the fight, this brutal fight that's going to take place in the House on FISA in Ukraine. She's going to be here with latest updates. We've got Jason Trent's going to join us, talk about how we get control of this federal budget. He's got a few modest proposals, brilliant guy from Wall Street. So we're going to get it all done today. We're on a roll here. This historic week, 1 week from today, is when they start phase two of the destruction of President Trump with lawfare. That's New York City. The case is going to curtain raising next week. We will be there. We'll have a team in place. Talk more about that later. Short commercial break. Back in the warm in a moment. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Depends on whether you care what happens to the Palestinians as opposed to the Hamas government and the people with guided missiles. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Now, wait a minute. Yes, they were. And Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try. So they, wait. They try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time. Look, I don't agree. I killed myself to give the Palestinians a state. I had a deal they turned down that would have given them all of Gaza. All of Gaza, between 96 and 97% of the West Bank, compensating land in Israel.
It is 6 months since October 7th, the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. Today, Senator Schumer was supposed to appear at the Council of Jewish Organizations to speak. He has done that for decades, has never missed an event. Today, besides betraying the people of Israel, besides betraying America's number one ally, Israel, today he showed the world that he is also a coward. He said he was coming. I was waiting for him, but he never showed up. What a coward he is. I can tell you one thing, Senator Schumer. If you had come today to this event that you were scheduled to be at, you and I would have remembered it for the rest of our lives. You are a betrayer and you are a coward.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Al-Mawti, America!
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
El Mauti Israel! El Mauti Israel!
Okay, welcome back. That last was not in Tehran. That was in Dearborn, Michigan. I have said this and said it from the beginning. This pro-Palestinian movement is the most anti-American movement in the history of this country. And right there, it's the First Amendment, right? He's sitting there right there, death to America. America's the worst. America's the great Satan. He's got the mullahs in Persia and Tehran are his heroes. All of it. Joel Pollack, who was Andrew Breitbart's executive editor, later became the senior editor at large at all things at Breitbart, has written a couple of brilliant pieces, I think, over the last week. So, Joel, help me out here. There are four combat brigades of Hamas. Everybody agrees with this. This is not even a question. The four combat brigades of Hamas in southern Gaza. There's two combat brigades, essentially, in Judea, Samaria. So that's six out of, I think, originally 21. The IDF retreated or pulled back a tactical retreat over the weekend after a conversation with Bibi Netanyahu and Biden, and also this massive protest on Saturday night. You kind of said this was coming. You wrote that the color revolution is coming to Israel to remove Netanyahu and basically to surrender to the radical Muslim Brotherhood franchisee Hamas. Now, our audience is very familiar with color revolutions, given the great work of Darren Beatty and Raheem Kassam and Michael Benz about, you know, Victoria Nuland in Ukraine and the color revolution against Trump in the summer of 2020. Tell me, what do you mean? Is Bibi blinked? Are they actually going to withdraw these troops and not take care of, not finish the job against these six remaining combat divisions, sir?
Well, I had the opportunity to speak to an Israeli government spokesman today, and I asked him that question, is Israel retreating from Gaza? And he said, you should not read too much into the withdrawal of troops from southern Gaza, that we have the capability of moving those troops back in there at any time. And some Israeli sources I spoke to told me that they expect the nature of combat operations to shift from having a heavy presence of infantry on the ground to having more of a special forces type of engagement as they go into Rafah, that city, which is the last Hamas stronghold in southern Gaza. Very, very strategic location, by the way. It's right on the border between Gaza and Egypt. It controls all the border crossings there and the smuggling routes underground. It is the last stronghold of Hamas, the four battalions you mentioned, plus the Hamas leadership and more than likely about 100 living Israeli hostages who are being used as human shields by Hamas. Israel has to go into Rafah to complete the destruction of Hamas as a military force, but they pulled back. So some people are telling me, no, it's just a tactical withdrawal. But as you mentioned, it happened after President Biden told Netanyahu in that phone call last week that he wanted an immediate ceasefire. And that was extraordinary because the Biden administration essentially took the side of Hamas that says they won't exchange hostages in any kind of deal until there's a ceasefire first. For many months, both Israel and the United States were on the same page, saying you only get a ceasefire if you give up hostages. Hamas has said, no, we want a ceasefire first. Then, of course, there's no guarantee they give up the hostages. They have a much stronger bargaining position. They're not under military pressure. Biden essentially took the side of Hamas in that negotiation. That is now the official position of the Biden administration. And what becomes clear, before we get to the bit about the color revolution, what becomes clear is that Biden has been using Hamas in the last 2 months as leverage against Israel. That is to say, when Israel came close to destroying Hamas, first in the city of Khan Yunis and now in Rafah, Biden tried to stop Israel from destroying Hamas because he wants to use this war to leverage a broader deal in the Middle East. Now, President Trump was very, very close to that broader deal without any kind of concessions to terror groups, to the corrupt Palestinian Authority. He was going to base it simply on the mutual interest of the Saudis and the Israelis in having trade, commerce, peace, and normal relations. But Biden is now trying to use this conflict to force Israel to accept a Palestinian state, which the vast majority of Israelis don't want. 10 years ago, Israelis were in favor of it. They believed that peace was possible. After October 7th, the polls have completely flipped in Israel. Israelis don't want any Palestinian state on their border that could direct this kind of violence at them again. And Biden, nevertheless, is trying to impose this on Israel so he can show constituencies like the one you showed in Dearborn that at least this wasn't just a wasted effort, that he hopes to bring them back on board in time for November 2024. And so he's trying to use Hamas as leverage. He's saying to the Israelis, don't you dare destroy Hamas, because if you do, then you're going to be able to impose your vision on Gaza, which is a demilitarized Gaza controlled by non-terrorist Palestinians. Biden is saying, no, I want the Palestinian Authority back in there. I want a big deal with the Saudis that includes a Palestinian state, Israeli withdrawals from this, that, and the other place. So Biden is using Hamas, a terrorist organization, as leverage against Israel. And it becomes clear now that he's done that since the beginning of the year. Back in February, Netanyahu said, let us go into Rafah. It'll take weeks, not months, for the war to be over. 2 months later, the Israelis have now pulled out of southern Gaza. They've essentially said it's a tactical retreat, but they've really been forced to do it. And there's no hostage deal. There's no big deal with the Saudis, although Biden keeps talking about it. And Biden is publicly trashing our ally. And it is making the mullahs in Iran very happy. It's making Hamas very happy. This has always been their strategy. Put as many civilians in harm's way as possible, create global international outrage, and hope that the United States forces Israel to withdraw. It looks like that is happening.
You broke some news here. I got to go to break, but I got about 60 seconds. With the force of the IDF, we've taken out 15 combat regiments, battalions, in what, 6 months or 5 months since they actually engaged in combat. You're saying now they're trying to sell that they can go in special forces? And impossible. You can't take out the four hard. These are the hardest of the hard down there in the south, and they got in this top flight in Judea Samaria. Are you saying they're pitching now that they're going to use special forces to get this done and not the blunt force of the IDF?
That's what they're saying. They can go in limited operations. And they point to the successful operation at Shifa Hospital a couple weeks ago, where they fought a pitched battle against Hamas terrorists who had returned to that hospital. They killed 200 Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists. They arrested more than 500. And they had zero civilian casualties. The Israeli military protected the doctors, the nurses, the patients, the staff. And they got the terrorists without any civilian casualties. So they're saying that was a successful operation. We can do that in Rafah. Unfortunately, that's not the only thing that has to happen in Rafah. As you mentioned, there is the presence of so much Hamas
fire. Joel, just hang on. I want to take time and develop this. Joel Pollack, senior editor at large at Breitbart, an expert on all things Israel, going to join us after a short commercial break. Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, I'm coming out in the next 48 hours with our next 72 hours with the fifth installment of the End of the Dollar Empire. This is about the central bank digital currency. We go through the analysis of what the Federal Reserve is doing here, why the BRICS nations that are focused, you know, the global south that control the resources, where they are completely focused on de-dollarization and trying to come up with some basket of currencies and get us off the dollar. They're buying gold at record rates in 22, 23, and now starting off in 24. So go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Gold got up to 2364. It's backed off a little bit, but every day it's kind of ratcheting up, getting a new base. We're not here to give you financial advice. We don't, but Philip Patrick and the team will. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick. He was on the Saturday show. Absolutely magnificent. So, Joel, back to you about this reality of what this tax, you know, with Clinton, I want to put in perspective. Help me out because you're the expert. Clinton's talking about Yasser Arafat. They came up with a two-state solution back in, you know, in his day. I think they're from Camp David, you know, up there. Yasser Arafat, it's not that the Palestinians turned it down. Yasser Arafat went back and never even put it to a vote because he told people later, and they gave him everything. If he had put it to vote, he'd been killed. Because the focus of the Islamic supremacists are the total destruction of Israel. And part of that's because it represents the Judeo-Christian West. That's what this is, a civilizational struggle. Am I wrong in that there's no peace here? They just can't. This is why it's so important for Israel and Netanyahu's government, the coalition war cabinet, to finish the job. And look, as brave as that battle was last week, when you've talked about four brigades of their toughest fighters that are now down the south, and as you said, all the other infrastructure down there, I just don't see how we're going to do it. But if you do it by a series of raids, you're going to be doing this 8 years from now, and you're losing the information war. So explain to me how that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense except as a strategy, either to placate the Biden administration, which remains the main source of arms and ammunition for Israel, or perhaps as a tactical maneuver ahead of hostage negotiations in Cairo to try to get Hamas to budge. Hamas says they're not going to release any hostages until there's a permanent ceasefire. Maybe Israel withdrew some troops as some kind of a goodwill gesture to hope to entice them into some position of compromise, but they're not compromising. Hamas is sticking to its guns. They are taking heart from the Biden administration's shift against Israel at the United Nations and again last week in lecturing Netanyahu, and they are toughening their positions. What you mentioned with Camp David, Yasser Arafat walked away from a deal between Bill Clinton and then Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak that was exactly as Clinton described it. He walked away from a deal. The Saudis thought he was crazy for walking away from a deal. They wanted this confirmation or this confrontation over with. And he was welcomed as a hero when he returned to the Palestinian territories. They hung banners saying Arafat is Saladin, the Muslim conqueror who took over Jerusalem 500 years ago. And so there is a religious basis to this conflict. It doesn't prevent every Arab or Muslim state from making peace with Israel, but it does fuel the radicals in the Palestinian movement who only want to destroy Israel. They don't want to build their own state. And that's what you see on campuses and in American cities.
Hold it, hang on. Slow down. Go back and repeat that. It's not said on television and it's not said often enough. Say what you just said.
The Palestinians don't want a state. They just want Israel not to be a state. The only Palestinians who have given any thought to what it might mean to build a state, ironically, are the Palestinians in Hamas, who had a conference in 2021 at a beachfront hotel in Gaza, where they pulled together all kinds of planners and experts and started dividing up the state of Israel into little cantons that were going to be governed as part of an Islamic state. They're the ones who will tell you, we want an Islamic state. That's the kind of state we want. Go to any of these pro-Palestinian protesters on campuses or in the streets of America and ask them, what kind of Palestinian state do you want? Do you think it's going to be a democratic state? Go ask the Queers for Palestine if the Palestinian state they want is going to respect gay rights. And then go to Hamas and see what Hamas stands for, how they execute gay people, how they hope to make the remaining Israelis who they don't chase out of the country or kill, they want to make them into slaves to work for the new Islamic state that's going to work somehow in the land between the river and the sea. That's what Hamas is planning. But the rest of the Palestinian movement doesn't do anything to create the conditions for statehood. They don't even take responsibility for feeding their own people. Somehow in this war, it becomes Israel's responsibility to feed the Palestinians, to give them electricity, to make sure that they're okay, even though the Israelis are not the aggressors here. The Palestinians attack the Israelis, not just Hamas, by the way. Talk to the residents of those border communities like I have in Israel, and I'm going back there tomorrow, they'll tell you Palestinian civilians participated in the atrocities, in the looting, that they came into their communities. Sometimes you had Israeli families hiding out in the safe rooms in their homes, terrified, fearing for their lives, listening to Palestinian civilians go through their refrigerators and go through their closets and take whatever they wanted. That's the reality. Israel was invaded by Palestinian society in Gaza. And that's the reality here. There's no movement toward building any kind of state. And you go to other Arab states, you see different kind of leadership. I was in Dubai, Abu Dhabi last year. You see what the Emiratis have done, how they've changed course, how they've embraced modernity in a way. It's not perfect by any stretch, but they have a different view, a view that looks forward. The Palestinian National Movement is a destructive movement. They don't invest in themselves. They only invest in the tunnels underneath the ground. There are no bomb shelters for civilians in Gaza, just for Hamas. All that construction money, all that material, it didn't go into buildings and civic centers and stadiums and schools. It went into tunnels for Hamas terrorists, and it went into rockets and weapons from Iran. They are single-minded in their focus on creating an Islamic state in what is today the Jewish state of Israel, which is open to members of all faiths. They're celebrating Eid this week in Jerusalem. Muslims can come and observe there. Christians had Easter. They're going to have Orthodox Easter. Israel is an open, tolerant, democratic state, but that's not what Hamas wants. And you should challenge any pro-Palestinian people you see and ask them, what kind of state do you want? Now, in Israel, the other problem, aside from the Palestinian question, is the political instability that's being fomented there in this color revolution that we discussed earlier. The Biden administration is pushing the internal instability of Israel. They're trying to topple Netanyahu because he is the last obstacle to the Biden administration's grand utopian plans for the Middle East that include capitulating to Iran, allowing the Palestinians to have a state, and allowing these other forces to run amok, not just in the Middle East, but all over the world. They don't have a plan for dealing with that. Their plan simply is to give in. And Netanyahu has stood up to Obama and Biden for a decade saying, you can't do this. This doesn't make sense. This is not the reality of the Middle East. And because he's the one person who will tell it straight to them, they want him out of the way. So Biden and Schumer have said openly they want new elections in Israel to get rid of Netanyahu. There was a very interesting intelligence assessment. It was prepared in February, but it came out in March from the U.S. intelligence agencies predicting that there would be protests to topple Netanyahu. At the time, there were no protests. And all of a sudden, after this assessment comes out, there are protests. And the timing is very suspicious. In addition, the White House hosted Netanyahu's main political rival, Benny Gantz, who's a former IDF chief of staff, former general, but he's Netanyahu's main rival. He shows up at the White House without telling Netanyahu right after this intelligence assessment comes out or around the same time. And it's absolutely clear to everybody what's going on here, that the White House of the Biden administration is trying to push Netanyahu out of office by using the same color revolution tactics they've used to topple other democratically elected governments. They create the illusion of public outrage and public unrest. And what you don't see are the 75% of Israelis who agree with Netanyahu's policies, who want to go into Rafah and finish off Hamas, who are sending their sons and daughters into the army, into the military reserves, leaving work, leaving home, going in there. And, you know, at the beginning of the war, when I went in October, right after October 7th, I said that if Netanyahu did not invade Gaza, the army that was camped out on the border with Gaza would turn around, go back to Jerusalem, kick him out of office, and then go back and fight the war, because the people of Israel want to be rid of Hamas. They support the war. They support the policies that Netanyahu has adopted. But Biden is backing the left-wing opposition, which can't win elections anymore in Israel. They have fallen out of favor ever since the failure of Camp David that we just talked about, with Yasser Arafat walking away from the deal. The Israeli left has collapsed. They can't win an election, so they go to the streets. And the Biden administration is encouraging them. And some of the leaders of the protest movement in Israel openly brag that they're talking to the Biden White House and taking instructions from them. Now, I've met some of these protest leaders. Some of them are sincere people who believe that it's in the best interest of their country that they get a new government for whatever reason. But some are hoodwinked by the Biden administration. They think that this administration is great for them and that it's going to arrange the political situation in a post-Netanyahu world in a way that favors the Israeli left. But what both the Biden administration and the left-wing movement in Israel are not reckoning with is the fact that the vast majority of Israelis want to win the war. They don't want to live under the shadow of Hamas. They don't trust Hamas. And they support Netanyahu's policies, even if some are tired of him personally, since he's been around there for so many years. But this is a war that Israelis know they have to win.
Joe, where do people get your writings over at Breitbart, the Breitbart Radio News, the radio shows, your social media? You come in a little hot sometimes on Twitter. Where do people go?
Well, you can follow it all at Breitbart.com. I'm also on SiriusXM Patriot 125 from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. And you can follow me on Twitter at Joel Pollack. That's where you'll get a lot of my observations about the Middle East and other. And look, I got to tell you, Israelis are telling me they need a change in the American administration. Many Israelis are despondent and despairing because they feel that Joe Biden is the worst thing that's happened to their country. They trusted him in the beginning of the war. They trusted he would stand up to Iran. Now they're terrified of him because they feel he's unleashing hell on their country by backing away and letting the forces of Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, walk all over Israel, not just Israel, but not even responding to attacks on America. How can it be that this primitive tribe in Yemen that can't even invent a missile, they have to import the Iranians? How can they threaten global shipping? Israelis are looking at this and seeing a weak America. They're terrified, and they're counting the months until November, until January 2025, really.
Hopefully, maybe we'll track you down where you're in Israel. You leave tonight for Israel?
I leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, we'll track you down. Joel, thank you so much for coming on and explaining this.
Thank you, Steve.
The color revolution ended. Netanyahu blink. Thank you, Joel Pollack. Joel, I think, knows this topic as well or better than anybody in this country. Joel Pollack over at Breitbart. Jason Trennett joins us. And Jason, I'm going to ask you to hold through the block. We're getting to you a little late. You were with President Trump on Saturday. We'll get to that later. But you have given, and people should know, Jason is considered by the hedge fund guys on Wall Street as one of the smartest guys out there. And I think you've had such a great understanding and grasp on really where this economy is going. But talk to me for a second about, we got about 60 seconds, tee it up. You've got a simple proposal that you think can get our budget under control, this massive out of control spending. And you're in essence, it's making the American people kind of the preferred stockholders. It's making them in charge when they write checks that they can actually see what's going on. Give me 60 seconds and then we'll bring you back and go into more depth.
The 60 seconds is this, Steve. You stop withholding at the employer level and you force people, to pay for their taxes like they pay for any other good or service with quarterly checks. And that's the way the system worked from 1913. There was no federal income tax, permanent income tax until 1913, until 1939. And people paid taxes quarterly. The problem with withholding is that it makes the system opaque, and it's not uncommon, even in my office, among young people, where they'll get a tax refund and think that they're getting something from the government other than their own money back without interest. And so I think if people paid their tax bills like they paid their other bills, they would demand much more from their government. And I think it would stop a lot of this crazy spending that we're seeing from the government, both at the federal level and the state and local level.
This is brilliant. This is something Trump could do. Okay, short commercial break. Jason Trennard from Strategist joins us next in the world. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, Philip, we're lucky to get you. You know, Phil, it's very tough to book now. It's not like Dave Walsh. Dave Walsh and Mike Davis and other guys that we started here on our platform are in every different show. And we wanted it to be that way. We've given them a platform, and people have seen how brilliant they are, and they're everywhere. Philip Patrick is just, he's so damn busy because gold is at an all-time, at least an all-time high. Now when you take in inflation, still got another 30% to go, and I take it all indications it may go there. But Philip, when we have them go to Birch Gold, you've got all kind of tax assisted things. You got 401ks, IRAs, the way you get it over. Just walk people through when they go to Birch Gold. How do they? Because most people in this audience have never been gold bugs. Most people in this audience, I mean, we have hardcore. Don't get me wrong, super hardcore that love when we talk about capital markets. Love when we talk about gold. Love the fact of where gold is and worship you guys. But a lot of people are not. So tell us what, when we send them over to Birch Gold, what happens?
So it's really simple. Birchgold.com/Bannon. What that's going to do is going to get them in access to a free information kit. It's very informative, 20-25 page guide. It's going to give people a lot of the history, how they can invest in gold, whether it's through an IRA or cash sitting outside. And then from there, they're going to have access to somebody like myself. We're there to sort of guide them through, hold their hands, answer any questions, and ultimately help to structure portfolios that are based on what the individual's trying to achieve. So the key for us, as you know well, is always education. We feel that people can make the best decisions from a fully informed perspective. So that's where it starts. Once people start to build a comfort level, we can help to structure, facilitate, and make sure that they can protect either portions of retirement accounts or, like I said, cash in the bank. But it's very simple. You contact Birch. From there, we provide the information and we'll hold their hand step by step by step.
You've been doing this a long time and your institution has been doing it a long time. I just want to leave with the fact of, from a professional, and you've been doing this through wars and recessions and all of it. Have you ever seen it crazier in kind of world finance or capital markets than today, and kind of the decisions policymakers are both making on the fiscal side with these legislatures and assemblies and congresses throughout the world, and also on the monetary side with these central banks? Have you ever seen it more, I have to say it, irrational?
Never. Not in my lifetime. You'd have to go back long before I was born to see it. We've got to remember a few things. Look, we've dealt with inflation before. We've dealt with recessions before. The whole time we've been, or I've been alive, the dollar has been king. So we're seeing very, very different issues today than we've dealt with in the past. And I think doing what we've always done to address them ultimately will not work. And, you know, I say to people on the phone a lot, and I say here as well, if central banks are buying more gold over the last 2 years than any other years in history, that means more than anything, I have to say. There is not smarter money, certainly when it comes to currency, than central banks. So you always follow the smart money, but certainly in my lifetime, I have never seen decisions being made as this administration are. And as we've said before, we are digging a hole that I'm getting very fearful we will not be able to get out of. And this administration is just playing into the hands of our enemies and creating a sound argument to de-dollarize, which is absurd. So the answer is no, Stephen. It keeps me up at night.
Okay, but take your number two principle out, because I don't think I've said it this definitively before. Like, I've made other statements, I think virtually all became true. there's roughly, I think, $300 trillion of debt in the world. That is personal debt, corporate debt, government debt, central bank debt, all of it. We are going to have the world's biggest margin call in a couple of years. And that margin call, you're going to have a margin call on this debt. And all bets are off when that happens. We're going to see things that are going to happen in the next couple of years in capital markets and in your savings and your retirement and what's happening that we've never seen. We have warned on this show now for years. We started the end of the dollar empire with Philip and the team, I think 3 years ago. We have warned about this for years. And if it continues unabated, I tell you, all bets are off and you're going to see something. You're going to see things you've never seen before. It's going to make the Weimar Republic look like a Sunday afternoon picnic of what's going to happen. And remember, it was the destruction of the middle class because of that monster inflation that led to the rise of Hitler and the fascist movement throughout Europe, in Italy and in Germany. Philip Patrick, where do people go to get to you personally? What's your social media? How do they get to you, Birch Gold?
Very simple. So for Birch Gold, for information, it's birchgold.com/Bannon. Again, birchgold.com/Bannon. And you can always reach me directly at Philip Patrick on Getter. Again, at Philip Patrick on Getter.
Philip, thank you so much. Thanks to the Birch Gold team, and look forward to launching End of the Dollar Empire, segment five, part five, the central bank digital currency. People's heads will blow up when they see that. They will get the pitch. They'll get the pitchforks out and demand, hey, we got to start with the forensic audit first, but then accountability second. Philip Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Now, I think you have to, whether you make the decision or not is your choice. I mean, you're free men and women. That's what we try to do here. But we try to merchant information. I think now is the time, I keep saying, to go do this. There's no logic to this. This is almost like a banana republic runs itself. What we're doing here on the fiscal side and the monetary side makes no logical, financial, or economic sense at all. This is purely a ruling class is trying to protect themselves. That's what it is. This is a ruling class trying to protect themselves. That's why I got to see how you're going to hedge against it, because we're going to have a margin call, global margin call on this, that is going to cut a swath of destruction through working class and middle class people, not just the United States, very big here, but throughout the world. That day, as sure as the turning of the earth, that day is coming. Next week is going to be quite intense. We're going to start with MTG. We got her currently booked, but we've got a lot more going on. But this whole, they're coming back, and they're coming back after approving a $2 trillion deficit just this year and not securing the border. The border's been worse since Congress left. Been worse. They're literally going to come back, and they're going to put $60 billion to Ukraine on the table, and we're going to fight this down to the bitter end. This is about the direction of the country, and this is about how irrational and insane your sociopathic overlords are. I want to thank everybody for being here. This week has been quite intense. I would like to say next week's not, but it's going to be even more intense. Congress is back. Going to be fights all over. President Trump's closer to the trial in New York, the phony trial, the persecution. I'll be up on Getter all weekend. I want to thank everybody, all the War Room posse, Grace, Mo, the entire team, Jane, Natalie, my great production crew. See you back here Monday morning live.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.